Oh, you better watch out. I'm giving you fair warning. Gan bwyll, good boy. I got my dander up. Tamping I am. See, I just heard this bloke on the news call some other bloke a self-made billionaire. Self-made billionaire. Oh, if you dare ask me what's wrong with that, I'm telling you, I'm going to blow my top. Look, you better play the John on the Rhondda theme tune while I cool down. Go on, play it right now. Cue the music. Some people don't recognise that theme tune. I bet that bloke on the news wouldn't. When the call comes from the Rhondda, it is. And I'll come to the call that came from the Rhondda now just. But let's get back to this self-made billionaire. You were going to ask me, weren't you, before I scared you off? A self-made billionaire, you were going to say. What's wrong with that? Well, I reckon I'm just about calm enough now to give you an answer. Self-made billionaire? Well, there's only three things wrong with that. First, whatever this bloke did, he didn't do it all by himself. Second, he hasn't made anything, not even himself. Third, there's no such thing as a billionaire, because there's no such thing as £1 billion. Self-made billionaire. Wrong on all three counts. Happy now? Oh, don't tell me I've got to explain it to you. All right, play the music again and I'll get started. Self-Made Billionaire by John on the Rhondda. Part 1. Self. I don't really know very much about this bloke, this self-made billionaire, but let's assume he didn't inherit his money. That's the way people usually understand self-made. But did he teach himself to wash his own face to get dressed in the morning? Did he learn how to read and write all by himself? Or was it in a school where there were teachers who'd been taught to read and write themselves by other teachers? Who built the school? Who cleaned it? Who bought the books? Who paid the teachers? I don't think he did it all by himself, did he? And when he started work, on his first day, was he sitting there all by himself, talking to himself? No. Pound to a penny, he was in an office. An office built by somebody. Cleaned by somebody, and some people who'd learned to read and write told him how to get started, and then he picked up a phone that was invented by somebody a lot cleverer than he was, and designed by somebody, and manufactured by somebody, and connected by somebody to a cable that stretched all the way along a set of posts that were made by somebody and put up by somebody, so that he could talk to somebody who was holding another phone which had been connected by somebody and made by somebody, and ask them if they had enough money to buy something that somebody else has made and which he could send them in a van which was designed by somebody, assembled by somebody, driven by somebody along a road, built by somebody according to a plan drawn up by somebody who'd been taught by somebody to read and write. That's how his fortune began. Self-Made Billionaire by John on the Rhondda. Part 2. Made. Nobody makes £1 billion for themselves by making things. That's obvious when you think about it. A billion is 1,000 million. So let's say you could make something in an hour that you could sell for a clear profit of £1,000. Tall order. To make £1 billion, you'd need to sell 1 million of them. And to make 1 million of them, if you didn't stop to sleep or eat or do anything else, would take you 114 years. No, this self-made billionaire didn't make anything himself, apart from money. He put together a deal in which other people did the work and he kept the profit. I tell you who did make £1 million by their own sweat and blood, though. Welsh miners. In a single year, 1913, they produced 57 million tons of coal. £10 billion worth at today's values. No wonder the first ever £1 million cheque was said to be written in Cardiff's coal exchange. My grandfather and thousands of colliers like him were Rhondda billionaires. They deserve to be at any rate. But £1 billion isn't all it's cracked up to be. Self-Made Billionaire by John on the Rhondda, Part 3. Billionaire. Got a fiver on you? Or any banknote? Take it out. Go on, have a look at it. Carefully. See what it says in the small print? Put your glasses on if you need to. Get a magnifying glass. I'll tell you what's written on my £5 note. There it is. I can just about make it out right under the lovely flowing script that says Bank of England. I promise to pay the bearer on demand the sum of £5. What I'm holding isn't £5. It's only a promise to pay me £5. A promise made by the bank's chief cashier, somebody called Victoria Cleland, if I can read a tiny, tiny signature on my fiver properly. But when I googled the Bank of England just now, it turns out that Victoria left her job in 2018, and the chief cashier now is Sarah John, which might be handy for me because my mother's maiden name was John, so we may be related. If I turn up at the Bank of England with this note and demand my £5, how would Sarah John pay me? With a note that says, I promise to pay the bearer on demand the sum of £5? And if all of us turned up, all at the same time with all of our notes, you probably know from watching Mary Poppins what would happen. We wouldn't get our money. There'd be a run on the bank, and pretty soon the whole financial system would collapse. Money, you see, is just a system of mutual trust, or put another way, a con trick. Money is probably the most successful story ever told, said one wise man. It has no objective value, but then you have these master storytellers, the big bankers, the finance ministers. They tell a very convincing story. Look at this piece of paper. It is actually worth 10 bananas. And it works with people. Try doing that with a chimpanzee. So a billionaire isn't somebody who's got £1 billion in the bank. He's just somebody who trusts he's got £1 billion in the bank. And who trusts that we all trust that he's got £1 billion in the bank too. If we stop trusting the bank, or stop trusting him, I wonder what use all his lovely money would be then. I started off just now giving off about the idea of a self-made billionaire. I seem to have proved that there's no such thing. What I do know is that my grandfather, whose long years of labour with his butties deep underground in the Lewis Merthyr pit in Trehavod, sent hundreds of thousands of tons of the best Rhondda coal up to the surface for other people to make fortune selling, that Grantia ended his days with next to nothing in the bank. I'm not even sure that he had a bank account. There was an injustice in that, and it was certainly an injustice that his death certificate avoided any mention of the coal dust in his lungs that shortened his life, so that his widow, my Nana, had no compensation when he died. But he and those other Rhondda billionaires he worked alongside were rich in ways that money can't account for. I'm annoyed that anyone should be called a self-made billionaire, yes, and livid that so many of those who have billions use their filthy lucre in ways intended to make sure that those who already have far more than their fair share of this world's wealth get to keep it. I think that's an iniquity, and we should all work to end it. But I don't feel jealous of anyone. I had a grandfather, a Rhondda miner, who did an honest day's work and knew the proper value of everything. I had a grandmother, a Rhondda homemaker, who told me I was worth all the tea in China. I may not have been, but to hear her say it was worth, yeah, all the tea in China, and fourpence halfpenny. I'm John Geraint Roberts. Join me next time for another John on the Rhondda. It's all for free.